Swiftly we're turning life's daily pages. Swiftly the hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? Shall we reap glory? Shall we reap tears? Millions are groping without the gospel. Quickly they'll reach eternity's night. Shall we sit idly as they rush onward? Haste, let us hold up Christ the true light. Souls that are precious, souls that are dying, while we rejoice, our sins are forgiven. Did He not also die for these lost ones? Then let us point the way unto heaven. Into our hands the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the light. Couldn't help but think about not the millions in China that are groping without the gospel, but the over a billion that are in that situation as we sang that song. I appreciate Grady leading that. We had a wonderful trip back the beginning of October, October the 5th through the 16th. We made a voyage over to China, to Beijing, and had an experience that none of us will forget. It's something that the more I am there, the more I realize the great blessing that I have to be a part of God's saving of the world. And that's what it is. I believe it's 1 Corinthians that says we're co-workers with God. What a great blessing we have to share the gospel message, not just to our friends and neighbors here in America, but halfway around the world, thousands of miles in a strange land. What an incredible blessing that is. And I believe that all of those who went came back changed and feel the same way, privileged, praising God for the glorious opportunity we had to spend that time sharing the gospel with the people we came into contact with. This was my first time to take Adrian, and that was a tremendous, tremendous experience for both of us. We had Carl and Wendy Morgan with us, and they made some sacrifices to go, not just monetarily, but Carl has been very busy at work. Many of you know he's involved in an MBA program now at Georgia State, and he was even working on papers and things while he was over there. We had James. Thought about having James tag team with me tonight, and he'd tell some of these stories, but he'd be crying all night, so we'd never get through. But he had a great time. And we had the Raja Durais, and got to know them a lot better and have a great appreciation, a greater appreciation for them now, spending time with them. And unexpected, we had Blaine with us. Blaine was doing some work earlier this year in China, and I think he just asked his employer or something worked out. I'm sure God had a hand in it, to where he could go over and work in Shenzhen, which is in the south, but arrange things so he could be up in Beijing when we were up there to begin with, and then near the end of our trip as well. And Esther, she had just almost too much fun. And Jeff Randolph, many of you do not know, he's a good friend of ours from Vernon, where we were 6 years ago, 5 years ago. And Jeff is a good old country boy and did okay with the chopsticks and other strange things, but this was a real experience for him. First time ever to go overseas, be out of the country. I want to talk about some of the lessons we presented. James and Blaine both presented lessons on evolution and did a fantastic job. And this is the part I kind of wish James could tell about, because he has never seen people like this, or Blaine as well. People like this who are atheists but so willing to ask questions and be open and talk about their lack of faith and why that is, and wanting to know sincerely why we believe, looking at the evidence honestly. Many of the rest, the Rajadurais and Carl and Wendy, presented lessons that were very similar to what we did in the Vacation Bible School this summer, around the theme, God is wise, that He makes great plans for us. And when we follow His plans, we are blessed. And when we don't follow His plans, we have to deal with the consequences. And we looked at some of the early accounts in the book of Genesis and talked about that theme. We also went through the Chinese characters, which I showed all of you before we left. Went through the book of Ecclesiastes, looking at the meaning of life, which is a really important lesson, especially with the ones that we're teaching, college students who are just incredibly driven to study and learn so that they might get a good job and get ahead, and all the zeal, that the passion for things that we see in America, we are finding more and more in China. And so, very important lesson. And then we also went through the plan of salvation. Ken Craig's material was used once or twice, and had an opportunity to talk with people about salvation and just a numerous other things. You always would get off track. People would ask questions about lots of different things. We would have informal conversations about just about everything. The numbers were not good at the first, and that was really my fault, and I felt bad about this, but I did not inquire enough beforehand about, you know, are there any holidays that will conflict? And lo and behold, the second biggest Chinese holiday just happened to be right when we were there. The fall, mid-autumn festival was going on, and so no one was in town the first weekend we were there. But we did have, I think, 8 the first Saturday. We met with several Christians on the Lord's Day. I think Monday and Tuesday we just had small crowds. But we had some very good studies. And this young man here, David, and his friend Paul, were a real bright spot in the whole trip. Asked a lot of very good questions. They rode their bike, and I say bike, not bikes, they rode their bike together an hour to come, and were with us for some time, and I think they would leave around 9:30 or 10 at night. And this is, if you're wondering how they ride two people on a bike, this is how they do that. You see this all over China. And so I don't know who has the tougher job, the person balancing on the back or the person having to pedal for both of you. But things like that are not at all uncommon. And of course, this is just daily life. They probably don't see that as a tremendous sacrifice because that's just the way life is. But we, by the middle of the week, getting into the second weekend, the numbers really started to pick up. Monday and Tuesday night were difficult for a lot of people that were working because they were having to catch up from being off work a whole week. But we started to have double digits, started to have multiple classes. We would split up into different rooms and study. We had contacts from a lot of different places. Esther befriended a waitress whom she invited to come study. Wendy talked with someone from the hotel. And then there was this girl here you see pictured from Starbucks. Yes, there was a Starbucks next to our hotel. And her name was Cherry. And we had other very good contacts. This young lady, Catherine, just heard two of her friends who were students at a local university talking about our classes, and she inquired, and she just came to come and study with us. And she talked with James and some others about salvation, asking about her own salvation. It turns out that she was sprinkled, believed that she was a Christian. They went through Ken's material, talked about Romans 6, immersion in water, and I believe James has had some email back and forth with her since we've been back. But the best contacts by far were the contacts that came from Christians. This is William, who is a brother, And he brought everyone who came to the first study. All those eight people were because of William that first Saturday. Another young man named Moses, you'll see him in the green jacket, green and white jacket up there. He was a real joy to get to know because there just seemed to be a spiritual depth with him. We were so impressed the first Lord's Day hearing his prayer, of course translated for us. But just incredible the desire and the zeal that we saw in both Moses and in William. And Moses and William are two of the leaders in this new church that I wrote about in my report. This church that we've been working with since 1999 has now branched off. There's a new church that has started very close to where we go, which is among all the universities in the Haidian district where we stay. There are about 40 universities. Beijing is the cultural center of China, and naturally many of the universities are there. Really the most prestigious universities are there. And in that district, there's numerous opportunities with students, and there really needed to be a church in that area. And William and Moses give us a lot of hope for the church in that area. I understand that Moses is always inviting his friends. He brought friends almost every night, I remember, from like Wednesday night on. And just tremendous to see young Christians who are so zealous to speak with their friends about Jesus. And that has not always been the case. When I first went in 2003, there were Christians that had not even told their best friends about Jesus. And there was a lot of fear in the group. And I understand that. I'm not necessarily judging them. I mean, we don't know what we would do in a communist country where it's against the law to evangelize. But the fact of the matter was, they were not telling others about Jesus. But the culture has really changed, and there is just a freeness now that we see among believers there. They are talking with their friends, eager to share the gospel with them, and that is a definite improvement. Let me tell you about some of the guys in this picture. On the far right, his name is Lee, and he was there on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, all the way to 10 o'clock, and he came, was he there at 10 o'clock? So 12 hours straight, and they didn't have lunch. And Lee, who is a biologist, is he a professor? Not sure about that. He's a PhD in biology. Obviously just had lots of questions and really wanted to learn. I told you about Moses. Bob, who you see right next to Moses, in between Carl and Wendy. Bob was a communist. And the first time that he was contacted or met, a Christian met him on English Corner, his first statement, and many of the students that go to English Corner know why you are there. They know that you're coming to teach the Bible, and there's some that actually go wanting to learn the Bible, but there are others that, you know, they know you're there because you want to teach the Bible. And his first statement was, "I am a communist, and I cannot go to church with you. My name is Bob." And now he is a Christian. And then next to him is Eva. I think I have another picture of Eva here. She is holding her first Bible. And when we gave her this Bible, she clutched it and even started to tear up. So grateful and thankful for this wonderful gift. When's the last time you gave someone a Bible and they reacted that way? But that's the kind of thing you see in China. Well, let me make some observations about the church. One thing I would tell you, other than what I told you before about them being more evangelistic, is the fact that the church has really grown and matured in terms of raising up men to be spiritual leaders. When I first came in 2003, by far the most spiritually minded, by far the most well-versed, the ones who would come every night, were the sisters. You didn't see much from the men at all. And there was concern that the church was 5 years old by the time I came in 2003. There was concern if that would ever happen. But we have really seen development in that area. This man here, Felix, presented a lesson. Now, he was baptized back in January, and he told me this was his third or his fourth sermon to preach, and did an excellent job. We also were impressed with Andy. Andy was kind of our tour guide on this trip. He would take us around to the wall as we're here at the wall and other places. And I've known Andy ever since the beginning, spent a lot of time with Andy, and never seen very much in terms of spirituality. He's always been a great guy, a good friend. But he would only come to church when Americans were there, unfortunately. The Christians would rarely see him at other times. But now he is not only coming consistently, but he is taking an active role and really seems to be sincere about his faith in Christ. And so that is wonderful to see. Men like Felix and Andy and Moses and so many others that are showing such spiritual development. But let me tell you the reason, and this is the restaurant where we meet. There in Beijing for the first group, the main group. I think there were 50 the Sunday we were there. Let me tell you the main reason why this has happened. The man that you see there in the middle of the picture wearing the blue shirt, his name is Gary Jackson, and he and his wife, Danita, have been in foreign work for 25 years. They were in Yugoslavia before the Iron Curtain fell for 10 years. They were in Russia after that, in Moscow, for 10 years. And now for the last 2 years, almost 3 years now, they have been in Beijing. Now, Gary and I do not see eye to eye on biblical authority. In fact, we have some significant differences that we've talked about. And there are some things that frankly concern me about Gary. But let me say this about Gary and Danita Jackson. For 5 years, there was an appeal being constantly made by brethren coming back from Beijing, telling others about the wonderful opportunities in one of the largest cities in the world. You know how many people went over there to live and work with the group? Zip. Zero. None would go. But Gary and Danita Jackson, about 2 years ago, moved to Beijing, and they started worshiping with this group. They had converted a couple of Christians, a couple of Chinese, who were living in Moscow, and they naturally had a connection. They moved in. And ever since they have come, in just 2 years, we have seen the group grow at an incredible rate. And I say all of this to say that while there is great value and great good that can be done on these short trips, whether it be a week or a month, there is no replacing someone being there constantly. There is no substitute for that. You have to be there to develop the kind of maturity and leadership that is needed by congregations. You can baptize a lot of people, and we saw on this trip how easy it is to baptize. But there's a big difference between baptizing and discipling. And Gary and Danita have done a wonderful job at that. And I commend them as examples of what we need to aspire to. Well, this is a picture of us, not actually in Beijing. We are here in Tianjin, which is a city of only 9 million, about 60 miles to the east of Beijing. Another major city, though. And in Tianjin, there are two Christians that actually Bob Buchanan was instrumental in baptizing down in Xi'an in the south. They were in school. And you see them, she is on the far right, he is there in the middle with the 32 jersey on. And they have been worshiping by themselves. Now what many new believers do when they move to a new area is they just find any house church that's nearby and they start worshiping, or government church. But they understand that they need to start a true New Testament church in this area. And that is their desire. And now brethren from Beijing are going and visiting with them and encouraging them, teaching them. Different men are coming over on Sundays to work with them and teach them, and we are thrilled to see that. The brethren in Beijing impressing us in many ways. Here is the one baptism we had, Maria. I didn't get a chance to spend much time with her, but I understand the baptism was an experience. But she was baptized into Christ, and we rejoice over that. Let me talk just briefly here at the end, in the time that I have left, about how we were blessed by this trip. I hope that we didn't do any harm, and I hope that we did a lot of good for the brethren there. But I know that we were blessed. I know that we were benefited by going. One of the ways that we were blessed is just by being together. I know things about the Rajadurais now that I didn't know before, and that's a blessing. And they know things about me. And I have a closer bond now with Carl and Wendy and Blaine. Blaine's a funny guy. And he likes to have a good time. And I love my brother James and getting to spend the week with him and the time I had with Adrian. It was just a blessing to be together, being drawn together by going through all the adventures, sharing these experiences, and of course, working for the Lord. That's the most gratifying part of all of this. The second thing that was a blessing is all of us being exposed to Christians who speak a different language, who live in a different culture, who are very different than us in many ways, and yet they share the same faith. And there's no way that you can appreciate that until you're in that kind of circumstance. What a tremendous blessing that is. Another blessing was just being exposed to the opportunities that are there, the appreciation, to see someone clutch their first Bible, to hear about people riding on their bike an hour, to have someone just sit with you for 12 hours straight with nothing but Bible all day long and not lose interest is something that will change you. And it'll help you realize the incredible opportunities that are there in China and that are around the world. China is not the only place that is a fertile field in the world today. But finally, and this is what I wanted to tie in with my lesson this morning. I said this morning that I was going to save the third point till tonight. Why did the people work so hard? Why do they have a mind to work? I said they had a mind to work because they understood the spiritual significance of what they were doing. The high priest, before he hung the doors of the sheep gate, they consecrated it. That means that they devoted this to God. They sanctified this work. They knew that this was more than just rebuilding a wall. This was a spiritual work that they were involved in. And I just love the way that Nigel summarized this trip at the end. Nigel said that this was the best family vacation they had ever had because, he said, this was a trip with a purpose. And there is something very gratifying about spending a week and a half like this, enjoying yourself, seeing all these new things, eating this strange food and being with each other, but knowing all along that the reason why you were there is to do the Lord's work. So that when you go out to eat, you cannot help but think, I wonder if the waitress will come. And so you ask her to come, and Esther did. And when you're talking with someone at Starbucks, you say, why don't you come up and study with us? We've got a Bible study going every night. And they come. And you cannot spend a single minute that you're there, and you're not thinking about all these millions of people around you. And how can I share the gospel with them? You know, this was the kind of life that Aquila and Priscilla lived every day. I want you to turn over in your Bibles over to Acts, the 18th chapter. Have you ever wondered what it must have been like to be there in the first century? When everything was new and everything was fresh. That's kind of the feeling I get when I go to China. Because you are literally sharing the gospel message with people who have never heard it before. Don't you know that Aquila and Priscilla woke up every day with an excitement about what they were doing? Read with me here in Acts chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So, because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. We learn later in the chapter that they travel with Paul to Ephesus and have some very important things to say to a preacher named Apollos who was there. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul closes his letter with a greeting. He says to, and of course Paul is writing now from Ephesus, writing this first letter to the brethren at Corinth, and he says in verse 19, the churches of Asia greet you, Aquila and Priscilla greet you. Remember, they were in Corinth with Paul. He says, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. Now turn over to Romans chapter 16. And if all that was not impressive enough, we learn even more about Aquila and Priscilla. When in verse 3, and notice the word order, he mentions Priscilla first in this passage. He says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And notice, he also adds this in verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. So what do we know about Aquila and Priscilla? Well, we know that they were tent makers. And that was their occupation, but that was not who they were. That's what they did to earn a living, to put food on the table, to buy a house. That's what they did. But that's not who they were. And that's not what they were all about. What they were all about is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And can't you hear them talking with the realtor looking for a home? What kind of home do you want? Well, we're not too concerned about most things, but just make sure it's in a good section of the city, in a central location. Why? Because we want a church to meet in our house. And they say to the realtor, by the way, you're welcome to come. We'd love for you to come visit us. And they did it in Corinth. They did it in Ephesus. They did it in Rome. And they even risked their own lives when called upon. And I wish I knew that story. It's not contained in the Acts for us. But somehow, for some reason, they put their lives on the line for their brother, the Apostle Paul. We just spent a week and a half with a purpose and enjoyed it to death. It was a great time that we had. What if we were to spend every single day that way? And say, yeah, I'm going to this boring job, but I've got a reason to go to this boring job. I've got a purpose to fulfill. I've got people to talk to. I've got people to influence. I need to earn money so that I can use that money to the Lord's service in whatever way He calls me to do so. Wouldn't it be wonderful to live your life that way and to be involved in people's lives with such a noble purpose in mind? The people in Nehemiah had a mind to work, and it's because they understood who they were and what they were doing and why they were doing it. And that is what will transform our lives as well. When we're no longer consumed by materialism, with things, with earthly distractions, but we'll focus our heart and intent fully on serving the Lord and doing whatever He wants us to do in this life. You want to spend a vacation with a purpose? I have a place I can recommend. And I know it's a lot of money, but, you know, we spend $2,000 or $3,000 to go to Disney. You can go to Disney in Hong Kong. And you can do a lot more good armed with a purpose to not only go there and enjoy the sights and all the pleasures that are there, but also to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who have never heard it before. Well, it may be that there's someone here that is not a child of God. And maybe you've been caught up in this world and you're looking for something more. We met a lot of people like that in China, but I believe there's still people like that here. I know there are still people like that here. And maybe that's you. And you've come to the end and you've realized that this life is just not satisfying. And you're looking for something more. And you've come tonight because you're seeking to fill something in your heart that's missing. Well, I can tell you what's missing, and that's God. If you don't know the Lord, if you have not become a part of His family, you are missing out on the very reason why you were created. God created you for a single purpose, and that is that you might be His child and spend an eternity with Him in heaven. And that is worth more than all the joys of this world put all together. And it would certainly be worth giving up whatever you have to give up this evening to come and become one of His children. Jesus Christ came to die for your sins, to give you this opportunity. And if you're willing to confess His name before men, repent of all your sins, change your life, turn your life over to Him, and be immersed with Him in baptism to rise up a new creature, we would invite you to come as we stand and sing. Free Christ, your